Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you guys here on a Friday. Hard to believe it is the last Friday of March already. So we are getting down to about a month away from the 2022 NFL draft, which we'll discuss in this podcast episode a little bit today. But the Chiefs making more changes and additions to the wide receiver room since we last talked. We'll talk about the latest signing, some other rumors that are floating around out there, as well about some possible fits or targets that Kansas City is after here in the second and third wave of free agency. But yeah, just going to kind of go through some of the latest news and notes on a little bit of a quicker episode today since we last talked on Wednesday's podcast episode following the Tyreek Hill news. Like I said on that show, wasn't really a big fan of the move, but I think just looking at everything that's kind of been reported and been kind of brought to the fold after that, I think it's easier to kind of come to terms with it, you know, on just what this team is going to be evolving to eventually at some point. And, you know, like we talked about the other day, they're just not going to be able to keep the same core of their roster together, you know, throughout the entirety of the Patrick Mahomes career. And I think it's, like I said on the episode on Wednesday, if you guys missed it, go check it out. But basically, I mean, I think this, you know, move away from Tyreek Hill will actually help Kansas City's offense kind of adjust and mold and change into what is best for them in terms of getting back to, you know, winning Super Bowls or getting back to that big game once again. It may not happen in 2022. I think it's obvious the offense could be worse without Tyreek Hill this year. I don't think there's any really understating about that, but I think looking at some of the moves they've made and what kind of potential they have at their disposal now, they could still definitely run out a pretty formidable wide receiver core alongside Patrick Mahomes and, of course, tight end Travis Kelce. And they did kind of make a addition already to the wide receiver room yesterday on Thursday, signing former Green Bay Packers wide receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a guy that I actually really thought could have been a possible fit for this team in free agency. Once they kind of made the Juju Smith-Schuster signing, though, I wasn't as sure if that would be the case. And that was, of course, thinking that Tyreek Hill would be on the team. But, you know, once you see Tyreek Hill away and you see the fact that Valdes-Scantling was visiting Kansas City the day the trade went down, it seemed like all indications was the Chiefs and him were going to come to an agreement. There was reports out there by, I believe it was NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, saying the Saints were also interested in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. The Packers, I don't think, were completely against a possible re-signing of the receiver as well. But sounds like Kansas City, from a contractual standpoint, was able to kind of meet the needs and wants of Marquez Valdes-Scantling. It's a three-year deal worth $30 million, max value of $36 million, as reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter. But as FanSided's Matt Verderam said, it's essentially kind of a two-year deal where he's guaranteed $18 million the first 2 years. And essentially the third year is almost like a team option. So it's definitely not as maybe handcuffing of a contract compared to what some may think. But having that ability to reach that third year with the Chiefs was obviously something that appears to really made a difference to Valdes-Scantling. We'll talk about his play style a little bit here now. I mean, he's a guy that definitely a little bit different than something the Chiefs have had in their wide receiver room in recent years. A really unique build, 6'4", 206 pounds, a guy that uses that frame to his advantage quite a bit, able to win through contact, imposes will on his receivers, play this physical kind of game, kind of similar to what Kansas City could be getting from Juju Smith-Schuster as far as after the catch goes. But with Valdes-Scantling, it's not just after the catch, where he is a pretty, I think just watching some of them yesterday since the signing was made official, Watching some of his games in Green Bay lately, it seems like he's really smart with the ball in his hands. And I think that's something that's a little bit under the radar in terms of his abilities. So that'll be interesting, and knowing he can be physical is a big part of it. And the thing that puts Valdes-Scantling's abilities over the top is, of course, the speed. This is a guy that, yeah, he's 6 foot four, but he ran a 4.37 second 40-yard dash in the pre-draft process back in 2018. And this is a guy that, I mean, it's not just short area burst. It's long speed that he's able to provide to the offense. And there's a lot of times where he was just easily able to hit on those explosive plays in Green Bay because, you know, his ability to just quickly get on top of the defender and eat up their cushion, the rapidness that he has with that to kind of eat up coverage is a big difference maker. And, you know, looking at some of his yards per reception numbers and yards after the catch numbers, I mean, he's been actually near the top of the league in the last couple of years with that. So speed, size, physicality is a very unique skill set. And I think you just look at everything he kind of brings to the table. The size is a big difference for Kansas City, but I think just getting more athletic in a lot of spots on the roster, that's something that appears to be a little bit of a different trend that the Chiefs are taking now in this offseason's kind of roster build here. So it would be really interesting to see what kind of role Valdes-Scantling ends up really working. We talked about his play style. How could he fit in Kansas City's offense? I think you kind of look at him being a guy that can move around the offensive formation. He did it in Green Bay. We know that's something that Andy Reid has done with a lot of his receivers in Kansas City as well. So he can line up outside. He can line up in the slot. He can line up even in tighter alignments, kind of close to the tight end if they want to, because he did that in Green Bay. And we talked about him being able to get on top of defenders and winning vertically. That's really where he has most of his success, is on these deeper routes. You talk about go routes, post routes, corner routes, even deep over routes seem to be where he makes his money. So be really interesting to see, you know, how Kansas City uses him, because, I mean, they just haven't had a lot of success in recent couple seasons of being able to consistently win deep. And, of course, defenses have started to play them differently. But I think you look at kind of just the decoy stuff you can use with Valdes-Scantling as well, allowing for other guys in the formation to get a lot of easier and more open one-on-one looks. I mean, he did that so much once in a while for Devontae Adams in Green Bay. So I think it's a move I'm happy with. Definitely not a guy that is maybe going to produce, you know, obviously 15, 16 yards each season, but a guy that is a solid wide receiver three, maybe even wide receiver two at best on your roster. If there's anything that's given, you know, fans any hesitancy, if you look at this Valdes-Scantling signing, and if you look at either a statistic perspective or just watch him on tape, it's definitely concerning to see how much drops he's had. And of course, drops was a big issue for Kansas City last year, especially when it led to extra turnovers that, you know, were not on the fault of Patrick Mahomes. So the drops definitely an issue. He did improve on that last year in 2021, but it's just those lapses once in a while where it appears he has a big play set up for him down the field, not able to bring it in, or in traffic where you really need to come through in those moments, crucial time in the game. You know, I think that'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, how that translates in the Kansas City offense. So the ball skills, the hands, those are things that it's going to be really interesting to see if MVS can kind of continue to improve that going forward, like he did a little bit in 2021 with the Packers. But really happy with the signing, I think, overall. I mean, I think having the right expectations, though, is something Chiefs fans, you know, should keep in mind. I mean, this is a guy that I think will probably average anywhere from, you know, say 700 to 900 yards per season at best. So definitely not a guy that's going to have, you know, 110 yards every week, but has the ability to be a consistent explosive play threat, can win down the field. And I really think kind of gels well with some of the receivers that are already on the roster. When you talk about a Mecole Hardman, a Juju Smith-Schuster, and even with tight end Travis Kelce. So signing a Marquez Valdes-Scantling, we wrote an article earlier today on Friday at fullpresscoverage.com and fullpresscoverage.com/Chiefs. So you guys can go check that out for more of my thoughts on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. But one thing I kind of wrote in that article that we'll kind of go talk about next is, you know, what are the Chiefs' next kind of moves, or what's kind of possible for them now in the next phase of the roster building? And I think, if anything, free agency, I can still see them adding another corner very soon. Obviously, I don't think we'll see them really try to add much to the defensive line in free agency. They were reportedly going to have former Raider and former 49er Arden Key in on a free agent visit. I believe it was today or sometime this weekend. So he's a guy I wouldn't mind joining the Chiefs defensive line, but I think other than one move like that, for a player that's pretty cheap, is coming off his best season, doesn't, you know, necessarily bring consistent production to the fold, I think that's really all you can expect at this point before the draft for defensive line moves. So I think a corner is still on the table. There's been some rumors out there about former Patriot and former Carolina Panthers Stephon Gilmore having interest in Kansas City, the Chiefs having interest as well mutually. But kind of the thing out there right now, not just from the Chiefs camp, but other teams that have had interest in Stephon Gilmore, is basically he's kind of expecting to get a deal that'll pay him, you know, way more than what teams are willing to offer right now. So until he drives his price down, or maybe even limits the amount of years on a potential contract, doesn't look like he'll be signing anytime soon, whether that's with Kansas City or not. I would not mind Stephon Gilmore, obviously one of the best cornerbacks still in the league at this point, in his early 30s. But I think obviously you have to make a smart investment there, like the Chiefs are kind of doing, trying to wait him out and see if he'll bite on a lower offer. So I don't know how much stock I'd really put into Stephon Gilmore right now, but there's a few other corners, whether it's veteran guys or guys that are a little bit younger, which the Chiefs have definitely been after more this offseason, getting younger, getting more athletic in spots. There's those options out there. It's just I don't know how soon or how big of a rush really the Chiefs are to add a corner, but I still would not be surprised to see them add one before the draft. But yeah, we just talked about Marquez Valdes-Scantling and the receiver position, obviously, you know, being turned upside down a little bit here with the Tyreek Hill trade. It doesn't sound like receiver, you know, they're done adding with yet. Now, I think that's obvious come NFL draft time. I think there's a very good chance that they draft one with one of those two first round picks, or maybe the second round pick at 50th overall, the first of their two second rounders that they have right now. And I really wouldn't even be surprised to see them double dip at receiver this year. Take maybe a total of two in this year's draft, just because you look at the current depth chart. I do think it's starting to look a lot more favorable than maybe it did obviously a couple weeks ago. But Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Josh Gordon, those are guys that are only signed right now through 2022. So we mentioned a three-year deal for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, whether it's essentially a two-year deal or not. He's really the only guy that is signed beyond 2022 among the Chiefs wide receivers right now. So that's why I don't really think it'd be too surprising to see them double dip at receiver. The fact they do have 12 picks now, the fact that I think it's obviously, and this has been, you know, very, very evident the last couple of years, is there's always great value and great depth to be had, you know, the later you get to the draft at the wide receiver position. So that's kind of why I really wouldn't rule them out taking one with maybe their second first round pick, or the first pick in the second round that they have, and then maybe another one, say round four or something like that. But that's something that is not just limited to the draft. It looks like, according to Jordan Schultz of the Game Day NFL, he was reporting a couple of days ago that the Chiefs were inquiring about Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Laviska Shenault. He's obviously still early in his career, was a former second round pick in 2020 out of Colorado. So he'd just be entering his third season, but I think just a little bit of health concerns and just everything with the new regime in Jacksonville. I mean, with any regime, no matter where you're going, you always kind of want to have your own fingerprints on the roster. And the fact that Shenault was, you know, a previous regime for Jacksonville, you know, I don't think it's really too surprising to see the Chiefs or other teams inquiring or kicking the tires to see what the availability looks like for Laviska Shenault. Definitely a guy that I think more of a gadget slot type, but I don't think he's averse to winning in the deep areas of the field. So definitely a guy that has a lot of tools and a lot of traits to work with. It's just, you know, can he consistently get on the field and, you know, start to see that production rise a little bit more. So he's a guy, if the Chiefs were to trade for him, I'm not sure what it would really cost. But I don't know if that's as likely of a move right now, even though I think it makes sense going after a guy like that. I don't know how likely that really is or how realistic that really is for Kansas City right now, given that they're kind of set themselves up with all these draft picks. I think they're really set on finally building through the draft deeper than they have in the past couple of years. So, again, I think it'd make a lot of sense, but if they do add one more wide receiver before the draft, I think it's more likely to be free agency. I think Will Fuller's a guy that could make some sense as a downfield threat, a speedster as well. And the only thing about him, again, he's played just a few games per season the last couple of years, so there's health concerns there. Same with Julio Jones. He's had hamstring problems the last couple of years, was released by Tennessee after just 1 year with the Titans following the trade that sent him from Atlanta to Tennessee. So Julio Jones is a name I think the Chiefs, I don't know. I guess from a traits perspective and a style of play perspective, I think it could make sense. But add in the injuries and the age, and I think the maybe kind of offers that other teams are willing to give Julio Jones at this point probably going to be more fruitful than what I would imagine Kansas City would give him. So yeah, there's definitely some other free agent veteran options out there. I really wouldn't rule out them still adding one through free agency, but I think the most likely way we'll see more receivers brought in is obviously through the draft. And that's something I wanted to touch on briefly today because I do have a couple of mock draft pieces coming out early next week for Mock Draft Monday. Not only will we have FPC Chiefs Mock Draft 2.0 come out this Monday, we'll also have the next full first-round mock draft for fullpresscoverage.com. We've had different editors doing the full first-round mock drafts the last couple of weeks. Ryan Suenu and Kyle Senra have done theirs so far. We got a couple other editors that are doing theirs in the coming weeks, but I am tasked with doing the full first-round mock draft this upcoming Monday. So it'll be interesting to kind of look at how I do the full first round and what I try to do with Kansas City's picks in that one, but also just seeing what all I can do with now an unbelievable amount of picks in Kansas City's disposal, 12 total at this moment. In the next FBC Chiefs mock draft, definitely going to be interesting to see what kind of routes I take. And I mentioned still taking a receiver round one or maybe the first pick of the second round. With the Chiefs having, you know, two picks in each of the first four rounds right now, definitely they're going to still be able to fill some needs, but I think they're going to try to be aggressive and not just try to sit back for maybe, you know, a good value or the next best option at a position of need. And it's not just always filling positions of need. We know Veach hasn't totally always drafted that way. So, but I think there's a very good chance after the trade of Tyreek Hill and having these two first round picks, I think Kansas City has a very good possibility that they trade up in round one and still have two first round picks this year. Say, I mean, I think you can get into the teens or the early 20s. And I think if they do that, try to go after an edge rusher and try to get a pass rusher in the building, because even though there's some good depth in the edge rush class, I don't personally think it's as good as what I maybe thought a couple of months ago. I think there's better depth at, say, you know, other positions in need for Kansas City, receiver, corner, even linebacker. I think they'll add a third one in the draft at some point. And even defensive tackle, I kind of like the depth more than I thought I would with some of those spots compared to a couple months ago, where with edge rusher, I think it's really starting to feel a lot more top heavy than I would have imagined a couple months ago. And obviously, it's going to be probably one of those drafts where we could see 4 to 5 edge defenders go, you know, say in the first possibly 12 to 15 picks. You're talking about a third of the, you know, first half of the first round being possibly all edge rushers. So that's why I think it could be possible Kansas City trades up, and it may not even be for an edge rusher. If they don't go edge in a trade-up scenario, I think they could go try to get one of the top receivers and take their chance on one rather than wait until the end of round one or early round two. And maybe even defensive tackle. Obviously, the Georgia defensive tackles, Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, a lot of buzz on those guys. And defensive tackles, not a position that generally is consistently taken very high in the NFL draft. But I think this year, both Georgia defenders are pretty much locks to go in the first round. I personally actually think, even though I really like Jordan Davis, and I think there's, you know, just a lot of rarity to his game in so many aspects, I personally would probably put Devontae Wyatt ahead of Jordan Davis in my defensive tackle rankings as I've kind of started to finalize my big board for April. But at the same time, I wouldn't even be surprised if Jordan Davis, you know, at this point was anywhere from a top 10 to top 15 pick. I think top 15 is more likely than top 10. Again, because of the positional value. But I think if you have a chance to trade up and even go get one of those guys, I mean, I know edge rush is a bigger deal and a bigger need right now for Kansas City. But if you have a chance to go up and get one of those guys and you really think that that's going to help your defense immediately in year in 2022, in the year of that rookie defender, alongside Chris Jones, I don't think you should have any hesitancy about doing that move. So I think at this point, I think there's a very good chance the Chiefs trade up in round one. So be on the lookout for my mock drafts, both the FPC Chiefs one 2.0 and the full first one, full first round mock on fullpresscoverage.com for Monday, because I think definitely some trades I'm going to kind of try to play around with this weekend before finally publishing on Monday morning. And the Chiefs are definitely a team I think has a good shot to trade up. So yeah, I think the most likely positions that I see the Chiefs right now addressing in round one with two first round picks, D tackle, defensive end, edge rusher, and wide receiver. Traditionally, we've talked about it here and there on the show. Brett Veach and this Chiefs regime has not really prioritized getting a cornerback very high. If there was a year that I could see them finally doing it, I think it would be this year. Now, other years, I've kind of mocked them going corner in round one or round two in like 2018, 2019, was off on that. And I think this is a year, finally, that I think they're maybe more likely to go corner early. Again, it may not be round one. It could be with one of those two second round picks. But I think just seeing how little a depth they have right now at corner after losing Charvarius Ward in free agency, and still having a little bit of question on where exactly Legarius Sneed is going to play, I definitely could see that being a selection or a position that Kansas City addresses a lot more early this time around. So we're going to be looking, though, a lot more into their draft strategy and possible fits. Like I said at the beginning of the show, hard to believe last Friday in March today. So we're about a month away from the NFL draft, and we'll have a lot more Chiefs draft prospect profiles coming down the chute very soon. A couple more this weekend, so be on the lookout for those before, like I said, FPC Chiefs mock draft 2.0 on Monday and more FPC Chiefs podcast episodes next week. So we'll have more of those. We'll kind of look maybe into some other draft strategies here and there in the coming week. So be on the lookout for that. Of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. And also be sure to follow at FullPressNFL and at @FP_coverage on Twitter for all the latest news, notes, transactions, and craziness surrounding the entire NFL there. A couple more signings, couple more news pieces this morning that we got out. So if you guys missed those and want to follow along, be sure to do it there on Twitter And of course, like I said, more FPC Chiefs draft prospect profiles this weekend. There's some buzz on maybe a possible running back signing. So if we get any confirmation on that or that's been made official, we'll have another reaction to a Chiefs signing piece coming out like we did with Valdez Scantling this week and with Juju Smith-Schuster last week. So be on the lookout for all those. But yeah, it's going to be more content coming this weekend and early next week. So be on the lookout. We appreciate everyone that follows along and gives us some great feedback. So enjoy your weekend. Make it a good one. We will see you guys next time.